Welcome to the Ivy Church podcast.
Hello, Ivy Church.
Hello, Ivy Church.
Welcome to Ivy Church.
Jambo, jambo.
Karibuni kanisani, Ivy Church.
Good to see you.
Welcome to Ivy Church.
For more podcasts and information about Ivy Church, go to ivychurch.org.
Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus, the Christ. Anybody connecting with Ivy Church these days is soon going to find out, whether from our website or just by talking to us, that we aim to be a supernatural community that's all about Jesus. We believe God, of course, is a supernatural God, and that raises our expectation, our hope, and our faith for miracles, for signs, for wonders, that in the name of Jesus, he will heal and he'll set people free from the power of the enemy and addictions or any other bondage today. The way that happened in Scripture, you see, the only way it happens is when people prayed as Jesus followers, not just a God in general, in the name of Jesus. That's why we're all about Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. In this short series, we're saying Easter is all about Jesus. Jesus, who died on a cross with King of the Jews nailed by the Romans up there above his head. But he's not just King of the Jews. We believe Jesus is King of the universe, that all of history is his story. It's all about Jesus. And one day he'll return in glory and everybody will see that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. But when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago, people didn't see it. They had all kinds of ideas about who Jesus was. And in that reading, the disciples, when he asked them, just threw out a few of those ideas. So today it's nothing new that some people still say, maybe you do, that he's just a prophet or a good man or a teacher. These days, people who know nothing about him still say they admire Jesus, and maybe they try and recruit him to back up their own particular ideas or cause and say that's what Jesus would do. But the real Jesus transcends all of that. Well, at least that's what I believe. You see, I've come to believe what Peter said, that Jesus is the Christ, which means the Messiah. It also means the anointed King, the Son of the living God. How about you? Who do you say he is? Now, maybe you're checking this out, and if you've got questions, please get hold of the little booklet that we've written or look on YouTube for it, Knowing, Growing, Going. You could arrange to go through it with a friend here at Ivy and discuss the questions or sign up for a short, just three-week course, just 3 hours in which at the end of it, you'll have the information, all the information you need to be able to make an informed decision about Jesus. And that decision can change everything in your life forever if you become a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, that's how I'm going to end this talk, so you can be getting ready for that now. And see, this is news that calls for a response, and I'm going to invite you to make your own decision, your own response, to say the words out loud that Peter did as a sign that he would be not just the king, but your king, and you will give him your allegiance. I want you to pray, to say as Peter did, "I believe and trust that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and then to follow him. To pray and say with me the same truth that he'd come to believe, that I want you to say, "I'm going to reject all the other idols. I'm going to give yourself wholeheartedly to follow Jesus now and always, because he deserves it. Because he's God's son, he's the savior of the world, and you want him to be your forgiver and your leader, to rule and to reign over your life from this day on and forever into eternity." So get ready to do that. At the end of the talk, I'm going to invite you to put your hands like this if you want to, just, or put your hands on your heart and pray saying, I mean this personally. See, who is Jesus to you? Whatever anybody else might say about him, who do you say that he is? There's no more important question you could ever get the answer to. Jesus asked them the general question, but then he got personal. He didn't ask them, what do you think about my teaching? He asked, what do you think about me? Who am I to you? Am I real? Am I just a good teacher? Do you think I'm just a prophet like Islam says? Do you know me? Do we have a relationship? What kind of relationship? Am I king? Are you serving me or do you still want to be in charge of your own life? Are we friends? Jesus says, am I God? I'm the Son of God. I'm the Savior of the world. Am I your God? Am I your Savior? I'm the king. Do you want to be in the royal family with me? When I was 21, I came to see, to believe and trust that Jesus is God, that he's king of everything. That changes everything. I started to read for myself and look at the Gospels. These eyewitness accounts telling me how God's Son came to earth to show us the kindness and the love and the power of heaven and bring that to earth to the human race. And we rejected him. We killed him. He died, but on the third day he rose again. So he is alive. We don't just have to know things about him like some other religion. We don't just have to do things for him. He's alive. It's all about knowing him. Like Peter said, I know that you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Who do you say Jesus is? It's the biggest question you could ever ask and answer in your life. I know many people still don't bother even trying to get an answer to it. And there's all kinds of reasons you might have for that. Maybe they think they already know enough to not have to find out any more about it. I was the same for the first 2 decades of my life. I felt like there must be something more, but not in church. I got interested in various other ideas, trying to just make sense of my own life, but I still wanted to be in charge. I was still wanting to be king of my own life, however much I was messing it up. So what I read was just to help me somehow do a better job of being in charge of my own plans. So I'd read a bit of New Age here and other philosophers here and bits of other religions, not the Bible. I thought that was 2,000 years out of date. Maybe that's even more the case of people now when we've got access to all this information and knowledge on our devices. Back in the day, I had to go to this thing called the library. Yes, now it's all in the palm of your hand. So why, among all the other influencers and thinkers and philosophers and religious leaders in history up to today, some of whom have claimed to be God or to be messengers from God, why bother with Jesus? When I looked at the church that I'd seen up until then, if his followers were supposed to represent him, but ended up with just miserable faces and bad music and boring traditions, I'd rejected all that and said, no, thank you. But then I realized Jesus wasn't asking what I thought of church. He wasn't asking what I thought about religion. He was saying, what about me? When Peter said, you are the Christ, it meant more than just the sent promised Messiah, the chosen one. It literally meant king. That was the sign you were the king in Israel. You see, you got this anointing perfume poured upon you. You were the anointed one. They did it with Charles at the coronation, didn't they? They poured out an anointing oil upon him. Jesus is king. He's the anointed king. Every time I pray, let your kingdom come, it's a vote. It's a vote for Jesus. Would you vote for Jesus to rule and reign everywhere today in your life too? I know there's all kinds of things that compete for our allegiance. His first disciples were trying to figure out who he was, and they had seen the miracles, they'd heard the message, they'd seen the man. And then he brought them to a place called Caesarea Philippi, where they had to make their own minds up. It's in the north of the nation, right on the border. It's this place where it's famous for all kinds of idols and options and temples from various other nations was there. And he took them there and he said, which is going to be the real God? Who's going to be your God? See, what if it's Jesus who's God? We like to put what if posters outside Ivy Didsbury to get people thinking. So what if Jesus's messages and claims are true? People like these days to make their own version of true. It's true for me. Or, well, it's true for you, but that's not true for me. But what if truth is truth? What if what Peter said he discovered as he followed Jesus up close is really true? Not just true for him, but true for everybody and everything. Not just some lovely, inspiring story or ancient myth, You don't want to live for a legend, however nice it sounds. Those first disciples were willing to lay down their lives rather than deny the truth that they discovered. When he found them, when he called them to follow him, like he's inviting you and me today. They saw Jesus the man at first, a real man, a carpenter with rough hands and a big smile. There can be no doubt that Jesus lived in history. He liked to call himself the Son of Man. And then his ministry started and people called him rabbi, people called him teacher. But was there more? He was born like us, but you read the Gospels and it says his conception was very different. The Gospel writers say it was sinless, a virgin birth as the Son of God. You remember that from Christmas. And then he grew up like we do. He grew hungry, he grew thirsty, he got tired like us, wept like us, bled like us, and died like us, although a terrible death. Yes, he was human through and through, but also he clearly claimed that he wasn't just a teacher talking about God. He said, I am God's son. He said, I'm the only way to God. Not a way, but the way. Not teaching the way, but opening the way. As he declared, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father, to God, but by me. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Wow. Nobody else ever made such claims and was able to back them up. That's why we are all about Jesus here at Ivy. He said, I and the Father are one. He claimed the right to receive worship from people. He said he was the good shepherd who one day would separate all mankind with his sheep coming to him forever or goats that he'd send away. Which are you? Not only did he claim to be sinless, he also claimed to be able to forgive sins, though everybody knew ultimately only God could forgive everybody's sins. He said he'd give his life as a ransom for many. He said that while other teachings come and go throughout history, his words will never pass away. And that's come true. The Bible, which contains his words, is by far the world's bestseller, translated into more languages than any other book. Jesus claimed that not only would he die and rise again, but that once that happened, he would draw people to himself and he would raise people who follow him from death to everlasting life. Who but God could not only claim that, but do it? When they asked at his trial whether or not he was a king, he didn't deny it, he affirmed it, but he said, my kingdom is not of this world, because he said, eternal life and heaven didn't depend upon whether somebody had been good or bad. It wasn't about whether or not we did lots of lists of various religious things. It was about knowing him personally, because we get into his kingdom on the say-so of the king, not our good deeds, but what he did for us while we were still sinners. Jesus was asking his first followers that question about who they believed he was in that place that was surrounded by paganism and idols and ideas. And Peter was the first to see it, or at least to speak it. But all who've come to follow him afterwards have only ever done so on the basis that they saw and said in faith, yes, he is Christ, my King. He's the great deliverer, the savior the whole world needs, and I needed a savior too. You see, he's the one Judaism was waiting for, who'd actually come to earth in Jesus of Nazareth. About the year AD 30, this new movement called Christianity came out of Judaism with nothing distinctive about it except the conviction and the proclamation that the Christ of the Old Testament and the kingdom of God had come, God's perfect son. If you're a football fan, I wonder who you'd say was the best of all time, the ideal, with all the skills perfected. Who was the greatest writer in history? Was it Shakespeare? I don't know. Is he the ideal? Who gets your vote as the greatest politician in history? Who would have been the best person in terms of moral virtue? Who's the human ideal? Who's the best person you've ever known? Some of the philosophies of the last few hundred years tried to lead people to believe the human race is just progressing and getting better and better towards becoming a race of superhumans. That kind of failed as reality bites, but now advances in AI seem to offer or promise the opportunity for transhumans to meld with machines and live and not die and make us ideal, make us perfect. You know what? All those ideals are doomed to imperfection because of the human part, the imperfect part. The reality of being human means you examine any of us and we'll all fall short. We all have done, we'll all continue to do so. But Jesus wasn't just human, he's God. That's why we all fall woefully short of the only ideal human who ever walked the earth, the man from heaven. He showed us God's love perfectly as he balanced gentleness and toughness, compassion and straight talk, humor and seriousness. Jesus was holy without being holier than thou. He was at peace without being idle, full of love without being sentimental, humble yet full of power. He carried no money, but wanted for nothing. I could list so many more because he had all the virtues and none of the vices. Jesus never did anything wrong. The Gospels never give a single example of anything for which he had to say, uh-oh, sorry, I messed that one up. We call the prayer that he taught the Lord's Prayer, but it wasn't the prayer that he himself used. He gave it to his imperfect followers like you and me who wanted to know how to pray. But he never had to pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses. Rather, he declared, I always do the things which please him. A few verses on, he said to his enemies, which of you can point to anything wrong in my life? Now, surely he's asking for it. Could you or I get away with saying something like that? I don't just mean from enemies. Friends, family could probably fill out a long list for us. But Jesus' accusers were silenced. They were dumbfounded. Those closest to him, like Peter and John, knew and later wrote that there was no sin in him. He was perfect. His character was perfect. At his trial, they tried for hours all through the night to find some wrong against him, but totally failed. They had to pay liars to come in and twist his words. Please, in the run-up to Easter, would you take some time to read through for yourself the accounts of his arrest? And you'll see that in the end, they just ask him point blank if he really is God's son, if he's the king, if he's the Christ. He doesn't deny it, but he says, one day you'll see me coming back from heaven through the clouds in glory, like he's going to be the judge of them. Now, they say that's blasphemy, but he just tells the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth at his trial, because he is the truth. He led a sinless life. When we sin, it's like a dark cloud comes over and blocks out the presence of God to separate us. Jesus never had any such consciousness of any such cloud until on the cross he carried our sins upon himself. It was not his sin, but yours and mine that made him cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? What God would do that for those that he created? No other religion talks about a God who'd take upon himself the sins of those that he'd come to save, to take them away. But our God is summed up in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, three little words, God is love. Today's false religion claims love is God. But the truth is, no, God is love and Jesus is God. So Jesus is love. When you see Jesus, you see true love, real love shown to us on the cross. Real love comes to us when we need it most, in all the ways that we need it most. Real love is willing to suffer for the loved one because real love is focused on the object of love, not the giver. When you think about it, it's stunning that a perfect, holy, sinless God would love us that way. He doesn't love us because we deserve it, but simply because he is love, and in love, he has chosen. He has thought we are somehow worth loving like that. As Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in him? Have you put your trust in him? You can do so today. If you want to know true love in your life, what love really is, it says God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Have you said yes to that undying, never-ending love yet? As we get ready for Easter, the cross of Jesus Christ is the proof of how much he loves us. When King Jesus loved us enough to trade the heavenly crown of glory for a crown of thorns, to be betrayed, mocked, spat on, whipped, his own robe stolen as they gambled for it, and then they stuck a rough horse blanket onto his bleeding back. Love nailed alive by hate to a wooden bar that they lifted up as he was crucified on a rubbish tip. This is a love stronger than death, dying a lingering death that conquered death on the third day when he rose again to bring us to everlasting life. So who is Jesus to you? If you cross-examine these things, when you examine Jesus, you will find he meets all the requirements to prove his claim that I am the truth, not just telling the truth, not just true for me, true for all, true for you and true for me. He is the way to everlasting life. So the question, when I make it personal, as Jesus did when he looked Peter in the eye that day, is not what do you think about God? It's not what do I know about Jesus? It's is he my king? Peter saw who Jesus really is, the Christ. What does that mean again? Anointed one, king. Will you pray with him right now and tell him, yes, Lord, you are my king. Just put your hands like this. Open yourself up to him. It's like a sign I'm offering myself back to him as we become aware of his presence and his holiness as we wait. Pray with me to this great and good king, perfect and good and loving. There's no flaw in him. That kind of perfection could push us away because we know we're not perfect. You know, there was another time when Peter glimpsed his glory and said, away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. But no, his love draws us. So again, put your hands like this. Listen to this promise. John's gospel says, light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We can present our sins to Jesus. You know, if we're honest, we're not honest. We're all imperfect. That's why we need a saviour. We come with empty hands to him. That's why Jesus came. Thank you, Lord. You came not to condemn us, but to call us. You came because you love us. So now I come and we bow and declare, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Say this with me. Maybe put your hand on your heart if you want to or something. That's where he wants to rule and reign more and more. But however it is, pray to him now. Listen to him. Let him love you and lead you. Say these words out loud. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the King of Kings. I want you to lead me for my whole life, that you will be in charge. Chase away, cast out darkness and doubt and fear. Come and rule over my life, King Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you for loving me. Amen.